You know, as I shared with you this morning about the challenge that I gave you to write down a blessing each day, there's really a deeper purpose behind that. Because I've found when I wake up and the first thing that I think about is the blessings, it changes my whole day, changes my whole attitude when I think about the blessings of God. And just not the simple things that we always think of. I mean, you know, we're all thankful and grateful to God for our salvation. But man, I'm here to tell you, it goes so much deeper than that. It really does. I mean, our WMU and what God did there is a real blessing. It's a blessing in so many different ways, not only for the support that the WMU has, but the more we're going to be able to support missionaries and the work of missions. I mean, that's what we're called to do. That's what we do. That is such a blessing. And I wanted to ask you tonight, before I go any further, if you thought of one thing today, maybe in just reflection, about what you are thankful for or grateful for, or what you have truly been blessed with, what would you say? Not what we usually say, but think about it for a moment. What are we truly thankful for tonight? What are we truly blessed with? What are we grateful for? I want to take, what's that? For our calling. Okay, amen. Amen. Hey, amen. I tell you. Yep. Amen. Yes, Susan. Your health. Amen. Amen. Yes. Life? Amen. Amen. Prayer? Amen. Oh, yes. That was my thankfulness this morning that I put for two Christian parents that disciplined when discipline was needed, but also trained me up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it made a difference in my life. It really has. Anybody else? Who else has a... Yes, Hope? Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. 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 Amen. Well, I definitely thank you all for that, because the last thing that I want to go out of this world is saying, or it being said that, you know, he was a Christian, but he didn't go anywhere. And I mean grow anywhere. And, the Bible says how much we need and should desire to grow. And that's what I want to place in the church people. I can't make you do it. I can't make anyone do it. But I just pray that as God's word is presented, that it stirs a desire in our hearts to want to know. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Connie. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Ed. Yeah. Amen. I call that God's grace. Amen. Amen. No, we couldn't. No, we couldn't. You know, did somebody else, anyone else have anything they'd like to just thank God for? What's that? It is. And I tell you, I never look at the book, but God is looking at the book, and he knows what we need for sure. Sandra, did you? Amen. Amen. You know, when we were singing that song, Amazing Grace, something just kind of overwhelmed me with that first verse about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I know that there are some that may not think about their wretched state, because God did save us by his grace through it. But I look back, and even though I haven't lived as wretched a life as maybe as somebody else, but you know what? It doesn't matter. God's grace is so awesome and so powerful and so wonderful that he would even want to save somebody like me. I mean, all of creation, all of his creation has throughout centuries just rejected, rebelled, and turned away from God to serve other gods that aren't even gods. And yet he still loves us so much. For us, few of all creation that receive him and trust him. That's just an awesome, awesome thought to me, because I didn't deserve it. We did not deserve salvation. We did not deserve God's grace, but that is God. Amen. I thought about a passage that I was reading in Romans chapter 8. And verses 1 through 11 talk about life in the Spirit. And as we look at this, we can see contrast. You know, in the book of James, it talks about the double-minded man. It talks about the one that's being shifted from like the sands of the sea. You've all heard that. Well, this in Romans kind of, to me, explains why that is so. Why we get in that kind of a condition sometimes. And the reason that we do is because Paul outlines in contrast the two continuous waging of war that goes on in our lives as we live. It is. And I wanted to share with you a few of the contrasts that I see that take really, really getting down on our knees in commitment and surrender and prayer to be able to keep the right side of the contrast and not the opposite. So I'm going to look here, beginning with verse 5, first of all. Verse 5 through verse 7 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." The first contrast that we see here are the two minds. Whether we want to believe it or not, or understand it or not, there's only two mindsets that we have. One of two. It's either the mindset that's set in the flesh, or it's the mindset that's set in the Spirit. If we are born-again believers, we are the only ones that can have that continuous waging war of the mindset set in the Spirit. Because when we are saved, the Spirit of God inhabits our lives. Amen? Before that, we just had the mindset of the flesh. And that doesn't mean that the flesh can't do moral good things, because it can. I knew a gentleman that I worked with that studied to be a Jesuit priest. And, I mean, he was good. He was a good husband. He was a good father. He was faithful. He did all of those kind of things. But you know what? He discovered he was still lost. And it wasn't till on a way on the road to see his dad, who was dying, whom he up to this point hated because of the way that his dad treated his mom and the family and deserted and abandoned them. He had wanted nothing to do to him. He had been going to church. He'd been hearing the word. On the road to see his father, he pulled off the side of the road and said, "I can't do this, Lord. I can't have this frame of mind and go see my dad, whom I hate. If you are real, I need you to change my heart." He sat right down there in the road off the side of the freeway and asked God into his life. And he went back and he loved his dad in spite of what his father had done before he died. Amen. That is the power of God. And that's why, as we look at this passage, it's so important to understand that we, as believers, have the Spirit, the Spirit's mind, if we will surrender to that mind. There's a lot of things that prepare us to do that. And we know, we talked about it here tonight. Prayer is one of them. Prayer prepares our spiritual mind. It reinforces our spiritual mind. Church reinforces and prepares our spiritual mind. Fellowship with God's people reinforces these things. This is why it is so important that we not just look at church as going to church and that's all there is. There's so much more to it. And that's why Paul wrote, or the writer of Hebrews wrote, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. There's more to it than just, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, no, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you want to survive as a believer, you better go to church. I know that to be a fact. And as a pastor, I have had that very same thing said to me. I can't tell you how many times. Well, you know, Sunday's the only Sunday that I have as a family day. Oh, I hate that when they tell me that. It's the only day. Yeah, well, what do you do on your family day? The kids go this direction. Your wife's in there doing something else, and you're watching football. That's a wonderful family day. You know, it's an excuse for what the church really came into being for. And it was for our good as God's people. There's a reason behind it. And you know, that's, as I've shared with you, I need prayer for me to not have a bad attitude towards my brothers and sisters who could be here and are not. I'm not telling you that I'm way up there on the pedestal and I never get dealt blows in these areas, because I do. I don't understand it. I love church. I love God's people. No, they're not perfect. But we won't get to be perfect until we drop the flesh that has the fleshly mind and be completely consumed in the Spirit. Amen? So you see, we've got this waging war. And we can't just ignore it and neglect it and think we're going to be okay. To think that we're not going to be double-minded men. To think that we're going to always make the wise decisions. Because we're not. It's when we get... Let's look at this again very carefully. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. We understand what that is. That's worldly things. That's all that matters. And you know worldly people that have set their minds on nothing but worldly things. That is the fleshly mind. But those who live according to the Spirit, set. Now, did you get that word? That little three letters, set. In other words, that's something you and I choose to do as far as I'm concerned. I mean, God comes into our lives. He presents himself to us. He saves us. But you know what? We need to set him as the forerunner in our mind, our hearts, and our lives. That's what he says here. The Spirit set in their minds on the things of the Spirit. You have to set your spiritual mind on the things of the Spirit in order to fulfill the life of the Spirit. It just doesn't happen. It's just like preachers don't preach if they don't study or they don't pray. They just, you know, they monologue. They go on and on and on and on and on and never say anything. Have you ever sat under those? I went to a CAUSA conference one time in Washington, D.C., and it was put on by the Moonies, and it was about communism. And so they invited me to go, paid lock, stock, and barrel, and I'd never been to Washington, so I just wanted to go to Washington more than anything else. But I listened to this, and all it was... There was one small part of one verse that was read, and after that it was never mentioned again, but on and on and on and on it went. And I'm here to tell you, I had no clue what the man was even saying. It was all over the place. You see, I believe a minister needs to have a train of thought. The Holy Spirit will give us. You put it in there. You get it in your heart, and God will let us know how to deliver it. I believe that. But if you don't put anything in, how in the world can you get anything out? You can't. It's like they always said about computers. You get out of it what you put into it. Well, you know what? Our mind is the greatest computer on the face of the earth. We can do far more things with only 10% of our brain. God knew better than to let us use more than that. I'm here to tell you, I believe that, because we'd be in real trouble. But I'm saying, folks, we've got these two contrasts, these two conflicts, this conflict going on between the flesh and the spiritual mind. Set your mind on the Spirit, because you're spiritual beings. You're no longer fleshly beings, although you have to carry the flesh around with you just like I do. And it is a hassle sometimes. But think about setting our minds. He says here, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. And he's not just talking about physical death here, folks. He's talking about spiritual death, eternal death. If we live for the flesh and we die in the mind of the flesh, then we have lost more than just this physical body. Because as our bodies are made incorruptible for heaven, bodies for hell are made as incorruptible too. They will note, they will feel, they will want to fulfill desires and cannot do it. You can check it in Scripture if you don't believe me, especially in Matthew. Talks about it. They're going to know. And you know what I think the greatest torture of all is going to be? Is they're going to remember every time the gospel message was presented to them and they said no. Because when we die, we are signed, sealed, and delivered. There's no way out. So we need to understand, and we need to let men and women and young people that have this earthly, worldly, fleshly mind to know that it's going to lead them to an eternal spiritual death. But that God loves them so much that He gave His Son to give them a new mind, a new spirit, that they might live the way God would want them to live, and that they might understand and receive the blessings that God wants them to have. I don't know about you, but I know this. Even in the greatest tragedy, God blesses us. Amen? You gotta look for it sometimes, though. And that's what we miss doing. That's what we need. This is causing me to not look on the surface, but to dig down and look at every aspect of every day, the smallest things, the tiniest things. Because God's blessings aren't always earth-shattering, thunder-trumpeting blessings and sounds. I like what he said to Elijah. Go outside. You're not going to hear it in the thunder. You're not going to hear it in the storm. You're going to hear it in a small, still, small voice. Listen. You see, to hear, have you ever heard somebody that talks very quietly? That wouldn't be me. But others that talk very quietly and your ears are kind of stretching to hear what they say. Sometimes God wants us to stretch our ears out and pay attention and listen as He speaks to us. After a while, it gets pretty annoying, I imagine, to try to holler as God hollers at His people to try to get their attention because they're just too busy. Well, He says here that, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How many in here don't want an enjoyable life? I know we all do. We want the most out of life. Like I said, I'm very thankful and very blessed that my parents are both still here. And they're both still alive. And like my mom said, they're still moving around and getting around. Praise God. A lot that in my wife lost her mom, the pinnacle of her very life, when she was 26. Her mom died at 50. You know, and that was a great loss. And she never, ever forgot that loss. And I know that none of us that have ever lost anybody do forget it. God, give us a memory to remember the good things of that person. But even in all that, she counted the blessings that God poured upon her, because He did. Many, many blessings. So we need to set our, if we want a good life and we want peace, and I'm talking about what Philippians says, chapter 4, the peace that passes all understanding. We're really going to try to understand it if we're not set in the Spirit. Does God really want to dictate and detail every little thing He does to us? I'm going to tell you, I don't believe so. Because He wants to test our faith. He wants to see if we're just going to be willing to go and do. And say, yes, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to follow You. So life and peace are promises for those that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Even Christians that have the spiritual mind, that walk in the fleshly mind, that fleshly mind is still hostile to God because we're in disobedience to the things He wants us to do. Do you understand what I mean by that? It means we're walking outside from underneath the umbrella of protection and the umbrella that He has designed for us in Christ. When we think of with the fleshly mind and we go out and we do things in the flesh as opposed to the Spirit, it is hostile to God. It says, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. If I can highlight anything, I want to highlight this. The fleshly mind is not, will nor it ever be submissive to the law of God. Now, I'm not talking about the written law of the Ten Commandments on tablets. I'm talking about the law and the commandments that God has placed within our heart through the Spirit that have caused us to demonstrate the law that He did give as a guide to become principles in our lives. You see? They're not just words on paper. The Word of God, this here, this is our lifeline to living. And yet it is the most carried, the most possessed, but the least read of any collection of books on the face of the earth. People think that just having a Bible is a good luck charm. It is not a good luck charm. Having the Bible will open a person's eyes to God's Word of truth. Amen. And the Spirit is the one that really takes the cap off the bottle. Okay? He's the one that lets it out to be expressed into our lives. When we live in a mind of flesh, it cannot please God. It is hostile. So, first thing that we see in contrast here is two minds. The fleshly mind and the spiritual mind. Well, the second thing in verses 8 through 9, we can see two modes. Okay, every life, we've got a choice of two modes. Those two modes are whether we either operate or live in the flesh or we live in the Spirit. The minds, remember, the mind now is, we've got a mindset of the flesh or the Spirit. Now we're living out either the flesh or the Spirit. We have that continuous battle as well. If we don't get it controlled in the mind, we're never going to get it controlled in how we operate. Never. Look at what it says here, especially in verse 8. He says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way. We're not going to do things that are relative to what a Christian does. And that means that, and that doesn't mean drinking, smoking, and going to the bars or committing adultery. Simple things like talking behind somebody back or gossiping or doing and having a bad attitude. Those things are more detrimental to the church within the church than those other things are, because the other things are easy enough to put your hands on. But the other stuff is so deceptive, so sneaky. And yet it's so destructive. Understand something. My prayer is that people come in the doors of this church and sit in those chairs to have their spiritual minds challenged, their spiritual minds grow, and to live the mode of the spiritual life. The spiritual life is so important to our testimony, folks. People are watching you. And you know, it's so easy and so quick for us to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm really kept in check a lot because of what the license plate that I put on my car that says God's soul. I got to be real careful. You know, I can't have any road rage, because that happens, I get in front of them and you know what? The Holy Spirit is just, He's not tapping me, He's smacking me. Saying, oh, you're a wonderful testimony back there. Look at what's on your license plate. God's soul. Yeah, you're a real reflective spirit of God's soul, you know? And yet in the same respect, I had a gentleman who was filling up gas. And I was there and he looked at the car and the license plate and he looked back. He says, I got to ask you a question. I said, what's that? God's soul, what does that mean? You're talking to a preacher, okay? You're talking about somebody who loves to tell people about Jesus Christ. It opened the door to me being able to witness to him about Jesus. But you see, it can have, you can do it in the fleshly mind, you know, or you can do it in the spiritual mind. And you know, and I understand this, I do. Most of us are over 30. And because we are, the older we get, I'm just being kind for Dennis's sake, you know. We have a tendency, now, I don't mean to take offense to this, but we have a tendency to get ornery and crotchety. We just do. I've seen it, you know. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that is the worst thing for your testimony, especially for the little ones. You're getting, you know, oh, Jew, watch out, you're going to run over me, you know, or, you know, clear the aisle so I can leave, or whatever the case may be. We don't understand. Oh, I wasn't pointing fingers. But do we understand what it means? You know, somebody is always watching us. And we need to be so careful of our testimony and our attitudes. And you know what? I know we got more aches and pains. And I know as we get older, we get more aches and pains. But you know what? It still cannot overshadow the blessings of our God. It just can't. We have so much more to be thankful for, you know? Like one person once said, or a preacher once said, he says, you know, I'm 89 years old, and he says, I've got one foot on a banana peel and the other in the grave, and I'm just waiting to slip, you know? But until I do, I'm going to live it to the glory of God. Amen? Oh, I love that. So we have two modes we can live in. The fleshly mode, I don't have to talk a lot about that. We know what the end result of that is. But then the spiritual mode, which is life, which is peace. Do we understand that when we live that way in our lives that we can actually pass it on to someone else? Yeah, it passes on to other people. There was a movie out long, long time ago. I never watched, but the end of it, and I don't like ending movies that don't end happily, and it's called Pay It Forward. And that's always doing something good for the person ahead of you. Even though the person that started it got shot and killed, which is not my kind of a movie. But still, it's the same concept, the same idea about taking life and peace and paying that forward in the name of our God. Amen. It can make a person's whole life change when they see what we do. The third thing is we have two mandates. If we look at verses 10 and 11, he says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Will also give life to your mortal bodies. One day, this body is going to be absolutely resurrected in newness of life forever and ever. But you see, we have a anchor that's weighing us down, and that's the flesh that we carry right now. It is. There's not much God's going to do with this flesh in control unless we mandate that we're going to live in the Spirit. Okay? Because this flesh is still steeped in sin. It was born in sin. It will die that way. And the incorruptible will be made perfect. But this isn't it. Not this that I have on. That which is to come will be. You see? How and who do we want to live for? That's the question. How and who? I pray. My prayer is that we love what it is we're doing. That we love what it is our church is doing in Jesus' name. And that we, above all things, want to be a part of it. And we only will want to if we are living in the mind. mind of the Spirit. Amen.